Praise Yahweh, people of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You may all be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's an awesome blessing to be able to come before the awesome saints of Yahweh, especially at this time period, that Yahweh has given us a goal to set for. You know, we should all set our coordinates and, you know, put our minds into utter self-control, you know, where it comes to preparing ourselves, especially for the feast that's coming up, the great feast of Passover and unleavened bread. And if you remember, praise Yahweh. If you remember, our duties in the house of Yahweh is to be prepared as that chaste bride, the one that was prepared and set in place for the returning of the groom, the bridegroom, which is Yahshua Messiah. And there's so many things that we have to pay attention to in the process of becoming what Pastor has encouraged us to become. Okay, for so many years now, if you remember, just like the future priest said earlier, when Pastor saw the vision of the flakes, okay, when Pastor saw the vision of the flakes coming down, and he said, you know, I looked out to the west, and I saw these flakes coming down. I wasn't sleeping. I saw this vision that Yahshua Messiah had allowed him to see. The awesome thing about Yahshua Messiah in his position is that he is working so intently and intensely with the great witness, with the one that was sent in these last days to bring forward this perfect standard. Okay, so these are some key words that I want to be in your mind, to be lodged in your mind, you know, as jewels, as the treasure is set in the gold. Okay, all of these things, you'll realize where I'm going with this. Because the great witness, he gave us some things to pay attention to, especially where it concerns the clothing, the raiment, the garments of holiness and righteousness. In preparing for this lesson, you know, the sermon went a number of different ways. I wanted to come up here and encourage the young ones, of which I would still want to do, in seeking for a career in the house of Yahweh, realizing that your career is here in the house of Yahweh, and understanding what it means to build a career, not only to build a career, but to build the community, to build up the house of Yahweh on a strong, firm foundation. It's up to each and every individual to do his part, his or her part, in building the house of Yahweh, because we are all individuals, but we're still united, indivisible, right? Not able to be divided because of the unity of Yahweh. Okay. The thing that's going to strengthen us in this unity is true belief in Yahweh and true belief in his work. Remember, Yahshua Messiah said that the work of Yahweh is to believe into the one whom Yahweh has sent. Okay, through prophecy. And we'll get into all of these things, but there was an interesting point. I remember if everyone would turn over to Exodus and chapter 30. Remember, Yahweh does things, and, you know, we kind of, remember Pastor said, when you're reading the scriptures, don't just glaze over it. Don't speed read. You know, read it for what it is. Look at what Yahweh has put in front of you. Okay, let's see. I'm sorry. I said Exodus. I meant Genesis. Genesis 30. Okay, but these things should be in our minds in order to strengthen our belief. You know, I always read this scripture, but it never really meant anything to me. I think one of the things that I might have said to myself was, well, why did she say that? Why did she say what she said? Okay, so this is Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1. It says, "Now, when Rachel saw that she had bore Jacob no children, Rachel was jealous of her sister," or zealous for the work of Yahweh. Okay, she was zealous to be able to be part of this work or to perform this work. "And said to Jacob, 'Give me a child or else I will die.'" Give me a child or else I'll die. Why would she say that? Like, what did she know? You know, because remember, that's supposed to be back in the Stone Age, right? Where people don't know anything about, you know, the body or how the body works or anything. Well, it's very interesting that she said those words. Those words you would just glaze over if you weren't doing what the witness said, and which was to pay attention to each word, because each word has a whole 42,000 volumes of study and learning in it. Okay, so she said, "Give me a child or I will die." And then Jacob was like, "Am I in the place of Yahweh? You know, I only do what I can. You know, it's Yahweh who's going to offer up a child." Well, so I looked up, I first heard an article, and the article was speaking about how the fetus in conception, when a woman conceives a child, that the fetus, I think what they actually called it was the reward of conception or something like that. And we were showing that the fetus actually offers the mother stem cells, and those stem cells pass through the womb into the bloodstream of the mother. So anyway, this was on the net. Okay, I looked up, fetal stem cells can repair the mother during pregnancy. It says one of the benefits of pregnancy is increased regenerative ability in the mother, a fact observed in a number of studies. The underlying mechanism or illustrate the underlying mechanisms are illustrated in a recent research and is one of a number of related effects that might inform future researchers in their directions, okay, about regenerative medicines. But of course, these individuals don't have the scriptures in their mind. They don't have the great witness who's going to encourage us and prod us and poke us and show us. Because remember, the job of a teacher is to point out as with a javelin, right? So when he's poking and prodding us, you know, we can't get upset and like irritated and everything, right? Because his duty is to teach us and to show us. But what it goes on to show is that the doctors have observed that women who experience weakness in their heart during pregnancy or shortly after giving birth have a better recovery rate than any other group of heart failure patients. Okay, this study suggests that the fetal stem cells have helped the human mother as well as the mice. Okay, so it's such a small, one verse, and not even the whole verse, just the end of the verse. "Give me a child or else I will die." But this is the wisdom that's found in the scriptures. Okay, this is the wisdom that's found in the scriptures. And so this is encouraging. It was encouraging to me. I mean, such a small point, but it means a whole lot in believing in Yahweh. Okay, so there's so many scriptures that Yahweh has brought forward. Okay, if you would turn over to Isaiah 45. Just to build a specific foundation. Isaiah, actually, hold your place there. Hold your place there and go over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah in chapter 23. Because this is where we're going to understand our foundation. This is where we're going to understand what we should be doing as individuals who are being prepared for Yahshua Messiah, who is our example, and who is the high priest over the house of Yahweh. Okay, so Jeremiah 23 verses 21 to 22, okay? And by now, it should be completely indisputable, the fact that Yisrael Hawkins is the one whom Yahweh has sent for us in these last days, okay? That is an indisputable fact. But look at what Yahweh said here. Okay, so Jeremiah 23, verses 21 to 22, it says, Let's just go with 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken of them, yet they prophesied. Yahweh has not spoken of these prophets, yet they ran. And people wanted to follow them so easy because they came in their own name. But Yahweh said, I have not spoken of them, yet they ran. I have not prophesied of these individuals, yet they are quick to go and speak their own words. Let's go over to Isaiah 45. Let's go to Isaiah 44 and verse 2. Isaiah 44 and verse 2. This is what Yahweh says, who made and formed you from the womb. Who made and formed you from the womb. Who will help you? Do not be afraid. Yaakov, my servant, and Yeshurun, my beloved Yisrael, whom I have appointed. Remember, in Yeremia it says, I have not sent them, yet they ran. But Yahweh says, I have sent you, Yisrael. Yes, you run. Yes, you run. Okay, just a little play on words, just to kind of build that in your mind, you know, lock it in there. Because in so many different ways, Yahweh identifies who he is sending, especially in these last days, where he has, if everyone would go over to the book of Zechariah, which is on page 719. Okay, Zechariah 7:19, chapter 5. Because this is the standard that Yahweh has set in front of us. From the one whom he said, yes, you run. Yes, you run. I got that from one of the great Malachim in the house of Yahweh. Yes, you run. These ones I haven't sent, but yet they ran. But I'm going to give you the strength to run this race. Run this mission, run this marathon, okay? So, Zechariah 5, verses 5 and 6 and also 9. It said, then the Malach who was speaking with me came forward and said, lift up your eyes and understand what was sent by commandment. Okay, lift up your eyes and understand what was sent by the commandment of Yahweh, by the word of Yahweh, by the prophecies of Yahweh, in accordance to the prophecies of Yahweh. It says, and I asked, what is it? He answered, this is the ephah, the standard of perfection, which was sent by Yahweh's laws. Then he added, this is honor, knowledge, understanding throughout the whole earth. And for your notes, you can put Deuteronomy 4 and verse 6, where it speaks about that this wisdom, this will be the wisdom in front of the nations, that Yisrael Hawkins will enlighten the whole world. Okay, and be that light to the whole world. Okay, let's go down to verse 9. It says, and I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women, the last two heirs of the house of Yahweh, sent with commandments, sent by prophecy. Okay, sent by prophecy. And they were covered with the covering of saints and exalted, magnified, and extolled the ephah, the standard of perfection, sent by Yahweh's laws, separating the way of the world from the way of Yahweh, creating that great divide between the standard of the world and the standard of Yahweh. Remember, the scripture says that silver and gold perishes, but we're seeking for that gold that will never perish, that will never be destroyed by any forces, any elements, just as Yahweh Shema is covered in that perfect gold. I was, when Pastor said, you know, that we should go back and look at the priestly garments, you know, I went into the book, Why the Holy Garments, and there's a few things that, you know, of course, Why the Holy Garments was written many, many, many years ago, but there's some interesting points in here that Pastor wrote. Okay, of course, he spoke about in Numbers 15, verses 39 and also 40, where it speaks of the reason why the holy garments were made. Okay, 39, it says, this is verse 39, it says that ye, this is reading from the book, Why the Holy Garments, that ye may remember and do all of my commandments and be holy unto your Father. Okay, so he was speaking of the tzitzit, that the tzitzit on the tallit is for us to be able to look upon and to understand and to remember to keep the laws of Yahweh. Okay, now of course, these are to make us holy, holy to Yahweh. The word holy, and this is still coming out of the book, Why the Holy Garments, is the word 6918, Kadosh. Okay, and it means to be a saint, to be sanctified, to be holy. It also means in 6942, it also means to be clean. To be clean, ceremonially or morally. To be clean, ceremonially or morally. This is found on page 11 of Why the Holy Garments book. Okay, so when we follow the instructions of the witness, we only get more and more strength. That foundation gets built even more in us that we can put on these righteous apparel and show forth to Yahweh that we're not just putting it on as a covering, you know, to harbor and cover any iniquity that we might still have in us, but we actually look upon the tzitzit. Anybody who doesn't understand what the tzitzit are for, they'll look upon the holy garments, the women's holy garments, which represent submission, is found in Why the Holy Garments. Okay, but anybody who doesn't have that understanding as to what they're there for won't know what they're looking at. But because we have this understanding, we could truly look at the holy garments of Yahweh and say, this is what Yahweh said that this represents. And this is why I'm reminding myself to keep the laws of Yahweh and to stand forever in Yahweh's kingdom. Praise Yahweh. Now, Yahweh has given us the opportunity to build a foundation of gold. To build a foundation of gold. Yes, we are the preparations, and I know people are pulling out their hairs and trying to get ready for the great feast, which the great witness has encouraged us and implored us, please, put on this gold. Put on this gold. Because just like the tzitzit, when you see this gold, it should remind you of the goal that we're aiming for. Okay, it should remind you of the goal that we're aiming for. If you would, before we get any further, let's go, because one of the things about gold, that mineral, is that gold is the best conductor of energy. And you remember, Pastor brought out about energy, right? The energy that Yahshua had, the energy that Yahweh has. Gold is the best conductor of energy. Okay, now, being morally clean means that our conduct should also be in accordance to holiness, to cleanliness, to morality, in the standard of Yahweh. Let's go over to the book of 1 Kefa chapter 1. And all of these scriptures are to put within our minds what we should be focusing on. Just like the great priest, before Pastor spoke yesterday, one of the great priests came forward. And he showed us that we shouldn't be giving ourselves over to gossip. Because actually, gossip harms the gossiper more than it actually harms the one who's being gossiped about. You know, so for us to be brought into that unity, we have to put away the gossip, the lying tongue. Okay, the lying tongue that is so easily given to the conduct of the world. Okay, so let's go to 1 Kefa chapter 1. This is found on page 957. 1 Kefa chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. It says, as obedient children, do not conform to the former lusts you had when you lived in ignorance. When we lived out in the world, the frustrations, and we're gonna get into some various points here concerning the gold and concerning being a treasure to Yahweh. Okay? So those various former lusts that we have when we lived in ignorance, when we were easily frustrated, given to hatred, you know, given to the gossip, you know, easily shaken. The scripture says, do not be easily shaken by the ways of the world, by the heathen, when you see them in their conduct. Do not be easily shaken. Well, that means let's not take on the character of the heathen. Let's ourselves not be shaken. Let's maintain that clean moral standard that's shown to us in the high priest's breastplate. So it says in 15, but as he who called you is holy, you, so you also become holy in your conduct. Gold, the conductor, the best conductor of electricity. In our conduct, we should be bringing forth the electricity of Yahshua Messiah. We should follow the standard that's being brought forward through prophecy shown in Zechariah, that these individuals would come forward by the commandment of Yahweh to bring forward this message that will never, ever spoil. You know, Pastor spoke about the olive oil and, you know, cooking it and reusing it and everything, and it spoils. This golden oil will not be spoiled. Praise Yahweh, because it comes forward from the one who is doing his work according to the standard that Yahweh set in front of him. Verse 16, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. 17, if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to each man's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your sojourning here in reverence. Conduct yourself in the reverence of Yahweh throughout this whole time of sojourning. 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, the things that they used to coat their gods with, but the gods were filled with abominations and wickedness, but they were coated with gold. So we cannot put on this coat of gold, but still harbor that hatred, harbor that envy. You know, we should be really, really striving to get these things out of ourselves. Okay? It says, so the corruptible things which are of silver and gold from your idolatrous way of life handed down to you by the traditions from your forefathers. So these ones that lied to us, remember the scripture says that eventually they're going to say, truly we have inherited lies from our forefathers. But Yahweh said, there are vessels of gold in my kingdom. In a great house, there are vessels of gold. And that's what we're aiming for. Yisrael Hawkins rules as Yahweh would rule. And so, praise Yahweh. And so if Yahweh said, look on the tzitzits in order to remind you to keep my law, Yisrael Hawkins saying, look upon this gold that you're preparing for in order to remember the standard that you should be following, that all of us should be following. This is what Yisrael Hawkins is encouraging all of us to do. Okay, now, the foundation. In the high priest's breastplate, there are many treasures, okay? There are 12 treasures in the high priest's breastplate. And they're all set in a foundation of gold. So this is the standard that we should look upon and follow after. And I'm going to run down the meanings of each of the stones so that we do have them. Because if you remember, Satan lost three of them. She lost three of them. Those places are vacant in what should represent the high priest's breastplate in her life. Okay, but firstly, the ruby, which represents submission. Submission to the laws of Yahweh. Okay, if you remember, the kippah and the women's holy garment represent the submission to authority. Okay, so taking on that image, taking on that representation. Topaz represents purity. Having the purity of mind and having the purity of heart. Remember, we read in Why the Holy Garments that to be clean, to be holy, means ceremonially, in performing your duties, and morally, in your deeds and in your actions. Beryl, the prophecy already shows that Yisro Hawkins will enlighten the world. He has this stone. Beryl represents light, to give light. And we do need to be this light to this dying world in the darkness. Jasper. Jasper is the strength of Yahweh. And remember, the prophecy shows, the scripture shows that the strength, the knowledge of Yahweh will be your strength and your stability. And there's only one place where we're receiving this knowledge. The one to whom Yahweh said, "Yes, you run, my beloved Yeshurun." Okay? Onyx, having the zeal of Yahweh. The being zealous for Yahweh. Not selfishly ambitious, but being zealous for Yahweh. When we are offended by our brothers or our sisters, we should be zealous to forgive. You know what? No, I already forgive you. Zeal, the zeal of Yahweh, bringing forward this image and likeness in character, in morality, in standing before Father Yahweh. Onyx, okay? Crystallite, which is the reverence of Yahweh. And remember, the laws of Yahweh are the beginning of the reverence of Yahweh. Once you have that knowledge, I remember the great Khan Yedidya, he said so many years ago, he said, "The power of Yahweh is the knowledge of Yahweh. And the only way that you can receive the blessing of Yahweh is by performing the knowledge of Yahweh." Okay, so you perform the knowledge, then you get the blessing. And usually a lot of us, we stop at the blessing. We don't go forward to the reward. But that's what he said. Don't stop at the blessing, go on to the reward. And remember, Yahshua Messiah said, "I'll give every man according to what, I'll reward every man according to what his works have been. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according to what his works will be." It's the reward that we're aiming for. And the rewards, they don't just stop at one reward, okay? So this is the reverence of Yahweh, the knowledge of practicing Yahweh's laws. Amethyst means to be in unity. To be in unity with Yahweh. And remember what Pastor said. He said that for us to put on this gold during this feast means that we would show this unity to Yahweh. Those were his words. That we would show this unity to Yahweh. Okay? So, agate means to restore life or to return to Yahweh. When we confess our sins, we are brought back to Yahweh. But to restore to life, that's what the Sabbath day is about. We go throughout the week on our own thing, the drudgery of life. But then we come to the Sabbath day to bring forward righteous sacrifices unto Yahweh, this living sacrifice. Praise Yahweh. Jacinth. Jacinth, which is the name of Yahweh. Jacinth, which is the name of Yahweh. And remember, it's not just about calling on the name of Yahweh. But to take on the name of Yahweh means to take on his character. That's what name means. Okay, that's what name means. It means to take on the character or to identify the character of an individual. And with Yahweh, it is, "I am who I choose to be." With Yisro, it is, "I have chosen to rule as Yahweh rules." Yisro Hawkins has chosen to rule as Yahweh rules. Emerald, which means to heal. Emerald, to heal. Okay, now with our words, we could offer up cutting retorts and cause lacerations and slices in the hearts and the minds of those who love us. Or we could actually heal with those words of peace that come forward from the great witness in these last days. The words of peace. He is the ambassador of peace. Okay, the priest Gadol on the earth right now. Sapphire, the book of Yahweh. Don't leave home without it on the Sabbath. Don't take it to the job site and, you know, all of that. But, okay, you know, a hammer in one hand, book of Yahweh in the next. I mean, like, you know, take a picture and, like, you know. Okay? So Sapphire, the book of Yahweh, always have it in your mind and in your heart. On the Sabbath day, bring your books of Yahweh. That's the instructions of the witness. And the last, but definitely not least, is the turquoise. Turquoise, which represents the law of Yahweh. Okay, so these are all the things, the standard of Yahweh's perfection, the ephah, that standard of perfection. Okay, these things are represented in Yahweh's high priest's breastplate that he so beautifully adorned the high priest. And the high priest is our example. So if the high priest has put on these treasures, because remember, Yahweh said, if you keep these laws, you will be a treasure unto me. The high priest has put on these treasures. Yisro Hawkins has put on this treasure in his diligent effort in bringing forward this message to a dying world, people who were dying. We were dying, but he brought forth the emerald to us, gave us that healing. Right, so that now we're able to stand in the house of Yahweh. Yes, we have ailments. Yes, we have the various things, but we have been restored to life according to the standard of perfection of Yahweh. So, praise Yahweh. And that brings me to the end of my lesson. If you'd all please stand. I'd like to turn the floor over to the great Kahan Zephaniah Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. Got a lot of news stories this morning. We're going to start off with a story about drug deaths from overdoses are up 11 years in a row. Pastor mentioned this last week, and this is from Fox News. It's a short story, but what's interesting is you have to do some study on this, but a lot of these overdoses, people are taking the medicine as prescribed, and the prescription is correct. So it's really a side effect, but a lot of drugs you can overdose on because they can't really predict what you're supposed to take with these opiates and opioids. And then we have a Chinese is hacking the U.S. corporations, the power grids, the banks, and they say it's a form of war. And a lot of this is another story to this, too. A lot of this has to do with the government wanting greater control of the Internet because it's kind of undermining some of their authority and some of their monopoly on information. So they're trying to pretend like we really need to get control of this thing before, you know, the power grid goes down. A lot of it's scaring people. There is hacking going on. And then there's a Smart Woman report about the more children watch TV, the more antisocial and aggressive they can become. Of course, anyone that's been around children doesn't really need a study for that, but they did one. And then we have Syria violence. Three massive bombs tore through the heart of Damascus. This was from last week. Again, this is not over. Just because you don't necessarily see this in the news every day. Syria is getting worse and worse. And then we have a story about immigrants being released because of the lack of money, the sequester, which is a big spending cut, and it just kind of shows the disagreements in Congress and how, as Pastor mentioned before, the fact that they're divided this way, that alone prevents them from solving any problems. And then we have the drought in Texas causing thousands of jobs lost, and this was just from the other day. And then we have the Pope left the Vatican in a mess, and it gets into the child abuse and also the financial mess. And then at the very last part, we have the Pope speaking and giving his kind of his farewell address a little bit, and he mentions, you know, what's interesting about this is he's pretending to be a man of the Bible. He kind of makes these fake biblical references, and he talks in this low voice. You know, he did not miss one holier-than-thou workshop at his school he went to. You know, he's got this thing down. Just keep in mind, this is totally phony. He mentions St. Peter's bark again, which is one of the Kahans mentioned. Who knows what that is? But that means boat. It's of unknown origin. But just to keep it in mind of what it means, just think Titanic. It's about to hit the iceberg nuclear baby. He says the Lord seems to be sleeping sometimes during his reign, but he's not sleeping, Mr. Pope. He's dead. And if you get some of our material, you'd know what that's all about. So let's play the news. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Israel Hawkins! Shalom, everyone! Okay, here we go. Here we go. Thank you. be seated now. Yahweh, you notice they're getting better as the gold flows. Did y'all hear that? The Pope is leaving a mess. And then he said, the Lord is asleep up there. He actually said that. Well, of course he is. That's what the scripture says. He's dead. Of course he's asleep. But he's not up there. He's in the grave. Oh, boy, what a mess the world is. Today, I have some great stuff to cover. Here, we can get these. These are golden suspenders. I had another pair that was more brilliant than this, but we can get them. So if you want them, turn your orders in for them. Now, tomorrow we need sewers, people to sew. If you can't sew, we have other jobs that you can do. Teenagers on up. Please meet in the morning at 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. at Women's General Store. It's on the south side of Women's General Store in the road. Let's see. Now, we can paint shoes. We can paint belts. We can't paint shirts or pants or vest or anything like that. We've done found it out. We just can't do a successful job of it. But get your orders in. We are managing to find them, and we're ordering everything we can find and getting it in the store as quick as possible. But if they don't have it, get your name, your size, and what you want. And we've got 1 week left. Well, make out like you got 1 week left. Get it done this week, okay? Okay? <All right. laughs> Praise Yahweh. I got to tie up some loose ends, they said. They rule by force. A divided kingdom, that's what you see the Pope saying. They say he's leaving a mess, and he says it's because the Lord is asleep. God is asleep, he said. A few others have noticed that too here lately. Rahm Emanuel. Now, I don't know if you remember this guy. He's now the mayor of Chicago. And I want you boys to write this down now. You got to have this name and you got to remember this man, because you're probably going to meet him here in a few days. Okay? Maybe this week. So get to know him. He played a big part in writing the 7-year peace plan. You got that? Yes. He was a big part in writing that 7-year peace plan, the peace treaty. You remember that, where Clinton and Arafat and Perez all shook hands and said, this is the way it's going to be. Well, you can see how minds were changed and how things were delayed and so forth. Nothing they do turns out right. And that's what they said. President Barack Obama said this, like groping in the dark. So does the scripture say. He was with the Clinton administration when Clinton and Arafat and Perez signed it in 1993, September 13th, I believe it was, 1993. Now, after the Big Sandy murders, this same man said, the Big Sandy, it's not Big Sandy, it's Sandy Hook, I believe it is. Sandy Hook murders. Big Sandy is where I used to pretend I was keeping the feast. A lot of people pretended they was keeping the feast there. But the Sandy Hook murders, he said, this same man said, there is no answers. At least not any sensible answers. There's just no answers to these problems we're having.
Now, this is the same man that wrote the Hebron, the 7-year peace treaty. Get ready to meet him. Okay? Shake his hand and ask him, when is the 7-year peace treaty that he wrote going back into effect? Be ready to ask him that. Now, I can't bring this sermon this week, but I got you up to that part. But Yahweh willing, next week. What I'd like for you to do this week, if you can possibly get the time, read the temple brochure and pay attention really closely now. And then next week we'll cover some things with some news, upcoming news. Gold. The golden oil from the two olive trees is pure obedience. If you want to write that down and study it, that's what it is. It's pure obedience. Being taught by Yahweh's house that Yahweh says will bring pure obedience to his people to where you'll shine like gold. Now, you can't wear disobedience underneath this gold. You won't fool Yahweh by just wearing the gold on top. If you wear disobedience, and you better start working on your problems now. You got 3 weeks here, got 1 week here to overcome this mess that you inherited from the world and its preachers and so forth. But that's what this golden oil is. It's being poured out in these last days. And to get rid of the disobedience, to turn the hearts of the fathers and the children to each other. That's what it does. The Leviathan. I know I didn't explain that well enough, but I'll try to do it in 10 words or less now, so listen closely. Leviathan is the Satan system. Satan's system of being in the likeness of the gods. Now, you just heard the Pope say they're asleep. So with no one to run the ship, the ship will sink, right? Leviathan is the rebellious system of the serpent and that's what it was called in Eob, the serpent making the earth mourn at this time. Cain had a big part to play with this, but the real one came with the schools of teaching. The Leviathan is the rebellious spirit. Violent, aggressive, murderous spirit active in all the earth today. It's taught by all religions, all schools, all municipal systems. It's taught by every religion except the house of Yahweh. And of course, we expose it. That's the way we teach it. You can't see it. Yeshua said it's like the wind. You can see what it does. You can see it turning the hearts to hatred throughout the world, causing wars and hatred throughout the world. This is that spirit that you're seeing that comes from the gods, people making themselves in the likeness of the gods. The spirit holy, on the other hand, that comes forth from hearing and practicing the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, teaching it to yourself and your children. Now that's the one that turns the hearts and minds to love. Mercy, kindness, thoughtfulness, caring, unselfishness, all of those things. You can see the minds of the hearts. You can't see the spirit now. But you can see the minds and the hearts changing as the person studies and then drinks in this golden oil as he's studying and patterns his life like he's told to with this golden oil. Now, if you'll study that, you'll find that in the scriptures, of course. Everything we've taught shows that thing. The chaplain, Senator's chaplain in his prayer. Did we have that today? Did we show that? No. He prayed. That's what we need to do. We need to pray to Yahweh, of course, for the king, the Barack Obama. I know you don't realize it, but it's like King Saul. Yahweh put him there for a purpose. The King James Version translates it incorrectly, of course, and so no one could understand. And it grieved God that he put him there. The King James Version likes it grieved him that he made man. You know, he's rejoicing that he made man. He's rejoicing about everything that man has done and is doing, because it's all going his way. He's proving to mankind that you cannot live this way and live in peace and joy and love. And that's a fact. But this preacher, his name was Barry Black, Senate chaplain. He says, as we anticipate and across the board set of budget cuts becoming law in our land, we still expect to see our goodness prevail. Rise up, O God, and save us from ourselves. Well, at least he realizes that it's ourselves that are to blame here in bringing this troubles about. And of course, as they're reporting, I don't know if it'll be as bad as they're reporting, but this could get pretty shaky in making a living out in the world. But that's not all it's going to involve. It's going to involve gangs. Some are saying this already. Doomsday sequester fixes limp to Senate defeat. He says early Thursday, competing press conferences, everything is competition now, but the competing press conferences, lawmakers from both parties continued to lay blame at each other's feet as they acknowledged that the across-the-board reductions to the nation's military and domestic spending programs are inevitable. And of course, they're saying there's no way to solve this problem. They were given years to solve this problem, and they couldn't come up with an answer. And as the Chicago mayor says, there is no answers to these problems. We're going to have to go back and start over. That's right. That's right. And that's what we're going to do eventually. They have done nothing to solve this. This is, I think, Senator Reed that said that. They've done nothing to solve this problem. The weariness over the sequester jockeying, which promises to drag on for weeks as the fight shifts to future deadlines for green lighting federal funding, even spilled over into the Senate chaplain opening prayer this morning, where he says, save us from ourselves. But but of course the Lord is asleep, he said, and Benedict is locked up behind closed doors. No Pope to give the answers. He didn't have any answers either. This made me think of the scripture in Revelations 20, where it says that Satan is going to be locked up. I don't know if you saw those doors closed behind him when they put him behind the closed doors, but he's supposed to be inactive. Others say he's not going to be inactive. He's still going to play the part of a pope, and they're going to choose another pope. It's like the jockeying between the Democrats and the Republicans, trying to get the man in the office that can do the most for that party. So now they're going to have, according to some, two popes. This one will hold his own power, of course, among the people, and they're going to add a second one to him to control this other mob over here that's got other thoughts in mind of running the Vatican. It says, U.S. aid to Syria. Now, we're still speaking on a divided kingdom, and remember what I brought last week about this kingdom being given to Nebuchadnezzar. First given to Moshe, and then Yahweh said he's going to give it to Nebuchadnezzar. And, of course, the way he brought that about was by force, as Daniel the prophet showed, being led by religion, which took over the whole thing and is now leading the quartet. The same religious system now leading the quartet. Now, that's a divided kingdom that Benedict was chosen to run. It was divided into four generals, if you remember the prophecy, or the history. And of course, divided into the power. Their kingdoms were four. And those four kingdoms come down to us today in the form of a quartet who we still see the same force being taken. But remember the keys of this blood. The keys to the blood was given to Constantine. That was the keys. Now, Malachi Martin was showing that, of course, this man knew the history, and it's a great thing to get that book, his writing, in your mind if you have time to do it, or at least read the things that I wrote about it and still writing about it. But Constantine received the keys to this blood to bring about this power, this authority that was given to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, don't let anyone fool you. He was a Benjamite. He was given this by Yahweh. He was one of the 12 tribes. I know people argue that. Dictionaries argue that. Dictionaries are wrong. They put in things. They put in lies that doesn't even make sense. You cannot even pronounce the Hebrew of Nebuchadnezzar. It's not even Nebuchadnezzar. It's Nebuchadrezzar. And you cannot pronounce that in any other way except Hebrew. And they say, well, maybe he was Chaldean. Maybe he was a monkey. Maybe he was something else. But he was one of the 12 tribes, and Yahweh deals with no others, he said. But if they would just believe the scriptures, all that the prophets have spoken, they wouldn't be getting this all fouled up, and then they wouldn't get mixed up on who's controlling this nation today. Yahweh plainly shows it's the 12 tribes split into four great powers off of the kingdom that was given to Nebuchadnezzar. That was Yahweh's kingdom. He couldn't give it away if it wasn't his kingdom. And he gave it to Nebuchadnezzar. And he allowed this to rule Jerusalem, the 12 tribes, and then finally split into, gather, of course, a great religion, a strong religion that was worthless, he said. It's a worthless religion, the Catholic religion. But that's the leaders made up, of course, of the 10 religions, which all believe different things. You know, it's like iron mixed with clay, Yahweh said. They can't hold together. They can't agree on anything. You know what brings you together and keeps you here? It's unity. Unity. Obedience to Yahweh's teaching and coming to unity with me, with the priest, all of us together working for the same gold. Gold. I've heard that word a lot here lately. But the way that the keys for this kingdom was given to Constantine. They called it a cross. They call it a cross today, the cross of Christianity, but it was a sword. The blade was down and the cross was up here. And he said, by this conquer. How did he conquer? With a cross? He conquered by killing people. He killed thousands and thousands of people. Now, the religions, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, they were trying to get this religion of theirs to work. The only thing they couldn't agree among themselves. One says there will be a resurrection. Paul played on this. The Apostle Shaul played on this and used it against them. While the other said no, they didn't believe in a resurrection. They don't believe you're going to die. That was the Masons. The Masons today believe that very thing. Oh, you're not going to die. Sign this paper and you'll be a Mason and be like the gods and live forever. You won't die. That's the lies they're telling. The same lie that Satan told to Adam and Eve. Well, they were trying to make their kingdom that was given to Nebuchadnezzar work at that time, because the army would stand on his part, and of course they would take over Israel, they'd rule Jerusalem, Yahweh would take the kingdom away from them, which he showed. This is not all instant now, but he showed in Daniel, the prophet, that he was going to do this, he's going to take the kingdom from them. But they would rule up until a certain time. And remember, I pointed that word out, until. It's be given into their hands. He gave it to Nebuchadnezzar into their hands until a certain time period. And then Daniel had to seal the books, but he saw two others on that future day teaching, bringing forth the kingdom of Yahweh, the message of the kingdom, and tearing down this mess that they got, the mess they made out of the kingdom of Yahweh that was given to Moshe and then given to Nebuchadnezzar, who was the rotten one of the bunch. And of course, he was forceful. And Yahweh showed you that in Genesis 49. Then he shows you the end of these 12 tribes. But if you notice the history, it'll come right straight down to Revelations. And then, of course, be taken over. That is, the kingdom of Yahweh, they will start teaching the kingdom of Yahweh. And that kingdom of Yahweh is like the stone that broke to pieces this great kingdom given to Nebuchadnezzar that's now ruled by the quartet and the Vatican, of course. Well, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but we'll prove that all. But the sword of this kingdom, that's the power that was given to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this U.S., this is on an article. It says the U.S. aid to Syria should be non-lethal, the new Pentagon chief says. I don't know if you saw that in the news or if we showed that today, but they're giving millions of dollars to the fighters that's fighting against Syria. What for? Syria. See, I've got a map. I want to show you what Malachi Martin said that war is going to be made against. You see the part in green? The great Euphrates River goes right up through that, the middle of that. If you can see that, everything in green there is Muslim. And he says, anyone who won't worship Mother Mary, she's going to make war against them. And right after that, the war started. Right after that book came out, and he says, he calls it the keys of this blood. And of course, the key is war. That's her key to bringing into subjection. Well, what I was started to say a while ago was that the four religions, that were uprooted and taken to Rome, transplanted from Jerusalem to Rome. This was before they sent Titus to destroy the temple and take all the artifacts to Rome. The religions there, they were trying to make it work, but they were saying, as they're doing today, that Moshe gave us some different orders. He wrote down these laws and everything, but then he gave verbal orders as to how to keep the Sabbath. And of course, Yeshua showed you how to keep the Sabbath. He set a perfect example. He lived without sin. Why would anyone refuse to accept that? Now, if he was sinning out there, him and his disciples, by doing Yahweh's work, he couldn't have been the Savior. But he gave us the rest. Then he said, in the last days then, he's going to give us this perfect rest through one called the branch. And it will be perfect, he said. The rest that we receive will be perfect. Well, the four religions and this great roving army that they had put together was trying to make this work, but they couldn't make it work because they couldn't agree among themselves. Neither could they convince the people. The people had the work of the disciples. They had the work of the apostles, prophets. They knew the laws. Even if they didn't keep them, they knew the laws. So they never could bring the people into unity. And this is the reason they finally gave up and decided to move to another place and then start making real war against the people who would not follow this religion, follow the rule of the gods. They were gone back into Egypt. That's what the prophets called them. They'd gone back into Egypt. How was Egypt ruled? It was ruled by the king. Remember the pharaohs? They were gods. So they had gone back into Egypt with this rule. And what we see today now is what Yeshua said, you can't use this way, it won't work. That's what Daniel said. It's like mixing iron with clay, it won't hold together. Because there's no unity here. And people start fighting over what they're being taught, what they're being forced into accepting. It says, Hegel comments at his first news briefing since taking over the Pentagon on Wednesday, came a day after the United States said it would, for the first time, give non-lethal aid to Syrian rebels and more than double its aid to Syria civilian opposition. Hegel's predecessor, Leon Petty, disclosed earlier this month that he joined the heads. Remember this, heads, because it's also called that in the scripture, that he joined the heads of the State Department, the heads of the State Department. Remember that, and you'll find out, you'll be able to see it in prophecy. It makes it much plainer if you'll remember what I just read you right here and what this newscaster called it under the words of Panetti. He said he joined the heads of the State Department, CIA, last year in recommending arming the rebels to take over Syria. Well, of course, there's a lot of opposition to that, too. A lot of opposition between the two parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. U.S. to send missile troops to Turkey in bid to deter Syria. They're taking over Syria. The sword today is to this same kingdom, split now into four generals. Remember that split? It came about, split into four generals, called the quartet. We see it here in Revelations, if you want to turn there to Revelations chapter 6. Revelation 6. And it's actually pretty much spelled out for you, if you'll remember the words and remember the prophecies of Daniel and what you know about the history of the scriptures. Revelation 6 and verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Remember, Daniel was ordered to close the seals. Then he saw two men teaching after that. So Yeshua opened the seals to those two men, or they couldn't be revealing these things. That's simple, right? So Yeshua then is opening the seal to the house of Yahweh in the last days. Because Daniel said that's when it's going to be. Praise Yahweh. Now remember too, he says this kingdom that he gave to Nebuchadnezzar is going to be for a time period. I'm going to give it to you for this time period. And to prove, of course, to all Israel, but also prove to heaven and earth, what your way will bring. So he opens this seal, one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, one of the four, that's the four generals. The four generals. This kingdom was divided into four pieces. And those pieces are still remaining today. Scripture shows this plainly. They stay in power clear up until the nuclear wars come. And then what's left of them will finally turn to us, the house of Yahweh, and to Yahweh himself, and he will take over rule. That's when he makes the enemies the footstool. Praise Yahweh. And I heard, as it were, one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. This is the false religion now. And he who sat on it had a bow. A bow. Somebody has to pull the strings on a bow, right? It won't shoot by itself. You have to pull the strings. Somebody pulls the strings. You get that? Well, the Pope, of course, is pulling the strings of the show. He's given this authority, this crown, that's what it means, authority, was given unto him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Well, how did he do that? How did Nebuchadnezzar take this kingdom? Same way, conquering and to conquer. Nebuchadnezzar, he was given the kingdom, but he was given the way to take it. His way was to kill everyone who was in opposition. So he went out killing those who would not join in with them in the battle. And millions of people died because of this. Now notice what else here. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second creature say, come and see. And there went out another horse. It was red, and power was granted to it, to him who sat upon it, to take peace from the earth. Well, you see that's taking place right now. All of this is taking place in the last days, and men, this is a prophecy for the last day. Take peace from the earth. How did he do that? Notice, it was given to him a great sword. Sword. The same thing that was given to Constantine and said, by this conquer. By this conquer. Well, of course, if you, that was in verse 3, they didn't do it by teaching. They don't do it by teaching. They teach, but their teachings are not acceptable. And of course, they have opposition among the teaching. But as the Pope pulls the strings, you see what's taking place and going to take place is prophesied. Turn over to chapter 17 now. He's given a bow, and he's got strings to pull. Strings. You hear that a lot in today's government. Red tape and strings. It's filled with it. Well, in Revelation 17 now, and remember, he's carrying a bow, and he gives power now to that first one to take peace from the earth. That is authority. You remember when Bush went to the Pope and said he to visit the Pope, and they asked him about it, and he said he saw the face of God. As George Bush Jr. said that, saw the face of God. Well, Pope Benedict said God is asleep. And there came, this is Revelation 17, verse 1. And then there came one of the seven malachim who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying, come and I'll show you the sentence of the great whore that sets, the one with the bow, as we've seen in chapter 6, 1, the one with the bow, the great whore that sets upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, verse 2. This is Revelation 17, verse 2. Kings of the earth have committed fornication, practiced idolatry. That's God worship. God worship is what Satan told Eve in chapter 3 of Genesis. You'll be like the gods. Be like the gods. You'll have a mixture here of righteousness and evil that's like clay mixed with iron, as Daniel said, that will come down to you in the last days. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk, that is confusion, been made drunk with the wine of her fornication, that is her teaching. Now look on over to verse 18, and the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. She's the one who pulls the strings of the bow that brings forth the sword to conquer. You see how plain that is? Once you understand it. And it's taking place right in front of our eyes right now. Pulls the strings to conquer. Conquer with the sword. Now what they have done, they have dispensed with the laws of Yahweh, so they'll never have peace. They'll never have healthy minds or healthy bodies. There's nowhere to go from here. No answer. No answer to the problem of sickness and disease. No answer to the problem of school shootings, of mass murders, police getting killed. Even the policemen are getting killed. They don't trust the police officers either. So they shoot them down. They're shooting them down now. The churches, they say, are bringing forth nothing but lies. The Catholic Church, the man who lived there hunting righteousness for years, he said, there's nothing here but deception. It's just totally evil, he said. No righteousness here at all, and that's what he came there seeking, he said, was righteousness, but there's no righteousness there. Pure deception. Well, this religion now sets on the seven hills of Rome, as is shown in the 17th chapter of Revelations, sets on the seven hills of Rome. She's the one that's pulling the strings to bring the war. Malachi Martin, if you remember, he showed all of these in green, that this is the ones that Satan is going to make war against. All of those who will not worship her, she's going to make war against. And of course, Syria is one of them. All the others that they're bringing war against right now fit in that same category. Now you, on the other hand, you've been told to come to unity with Yahweh, make yourselves in His likeness. And he calls you to his house in these last days to bring you to that unity. Now, if you buck up against it, of course, that's going to go against your record. If you hide your sins, as Adam did, then you won't enter Yahweh's kingdom. The best thing to do when you're corrected by a priest, by a supervisor, is say thank you. And go ahead and try to do what you're told to do. Praise Yahweh. The thing for you to do is follow exactly Yahweh's laws, his rules. Don't go about the other way. You'll be a teacher of lies and hypocrisy. You'll be a teacher of lies if you don't follow the rules. You'll be hypocrites. Yeshua called the Pharisees hypocrites. Hypocrites, Pharisees, serpents, children of the serpent, the Leviathan that has been created here. This is the whole religious system that's bringing the world to this unsolvable problems. No answers for the problems that they face today. And they've brought it, just like Isaiah said, Isaiah 24:1-6. Because you have changed the ordinance and broken the laws of Yahweh, and now the earth is going to be burned and few people left. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you! I love you.